Howdy, freaks. What's happening? It's House and Sprue, joined today by our kid and our kid. How's it going, everyone?
Good, mate. Good.
Yeah, great.
Love that intro.
Apparently, it's a bank holiday Monday today. Who'd have thunk it?
I know. I had an extra half hour in bed, thanks to that.
What time did you get up? Six.
Yeah.
Oh, what do we know?
Nothing much. Just everyone's losing the shit, aren't they?
Over all everything. Right, just coming. Sorry. You know.
That's the, that's the sort of insight you get from me, Steve.
Can we fucking go out here or what?
Everyone's very angry. Angrier than usual about everything.
Yeah, I've seen that. Oh, but before we get into it, so this is Dave, and he's also known as our kid, hence the intro, in case anyone was sitting there going, fuck are you lot on about? and you two lot have just started a podcast, haven't you?
Yeah, well, we go back a long time. Me and Scotty, we've known each other for 20 years. We used to work together in a call centre in Old Trafford many, many years ago. We helped move the call centre to Bangladesh, actually.
Yeah, that's how successful we were.
It was that much of a disaster. He outsourced it. And I think we played our part in that. But we've been mates ever since. And we were just chatting the other night on WhatsApp, weren't we? And we just said, why not do one of those YouTube-type podcasty things?
Yeah, there's not many out there, is there?
No, yeah. Here's an idea. Why don't we go on YouTube and start ranting? So we thought, because we're obviously, you know, Steve, I'm always on your show, do stuff with Devils. I'm always talking about United. We thought we'd just do something a bit different. So it's more about films. Obviously, we talk about football as well, but films, culture, even a little bit of politics, dare I say.
Politics.
I know. But from a layman's point of view, as you may have guessed, we're not exactly political experts.
Neither are the politicians.
It's a political expert anyway.
Yeah. And well, yeah, that's true. Even a political expert's not expert. So, yeah. So it's Scotty and Motty. Check it out.
Yeah, go check it out over on that there YouTube. Yeah, good luck, lads. Hope it's a banger for you.
Appreciate your support.
Is football back yet?
In Germany.
Yeah. Have you been getting into it? Have you been watching the German stuff? Because I
have. Of course I have.
I know. Well, silly question with you in it. You watch it anyway. You watch it when it's normal football's on.
I had an interesting. Everyone in the comments is probably able to guess who and what, but I'm not going to expose the guilty at the moment. There's a friend of mine who plays in Bundesliga who wasn't playing this weekend, whose team didn't do so well. And we were texting back and forth. He's going, they're fucking shit, aren't they? and I'm like, yeah, and you can't get a game from. So I was happy for you. But yeah, the intensity is not quite there. It's weird. It's like, I can watch football in empty stadiums because I watch youth football. So that's not a drama, but the intensity not being there, there's a weird standoffishness about everything, isn't it? That's what's doing me in a little bit. That's what I can't wrap my head around.
Yeah, every game feels like a sort of friendly or a training session, doesn't it?
Yeah, friendly vibe. Yeah.
Or a shit international. I watched the first game back, the Dortmund game. I had to switch off after 45 minutes. I just couldn't keep me in the attention. But I don't know what it's going to be like when the Premier League comes back, when it comes back.
It's coming back though, isn't it? They are absolutely ramming that fucker right up.
They don't care, do they? I mean, it's like they're putting a positive spin on it as well. Only two people tested positive out of how many or whatever. And it looks like it's going to happen. And they're not even bothered when players are saying we're not going to play. Like Kante and players like that saying, don't feel safe. Yeah, don't worry, we'll play without you. We'll kind of just think, like, oh, wow.
Five aside.
Yeah. I think you're right, mate. I was getting to that point where I thought, can this really happen? You know, when they were sort of talking about tackling and not looking at each other and just playing 40 minutes and having 20 subs a game and all this rubbish. But now I think they're forcing it through and I think it probably will happen.
Yeah, I'm almost certain. Yeah, they don't really seem to give a shit about any of the roadblocks that go in their way. They're just like, keep going. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Keep going. Yeah, and it's, well, even Spain's starting on the 8th. And you're like, well, I thought they're not even back in training as far as I'm aware in Spain. So
they're going to be like going straight from the doctors just onto the pitch.
Like, yeah, like, what are you up to? Can you get to the ground for three?
I mean, this is a thing. It's just trying to get it finished by any means necessary. And it is going to spoil it and it is going to be daft. And you know, the worst part of it, I'm not going to be, you know, let's not beat around the bushes. Them lot are going to be celebrating the title.
Have you ever seen a club, even, I don't even think Leicester did this, make replica Premier League medals?
No, no. No. But Steve, this means more to them.
You're right, totally. It does mean more, of course. I'm just a complete fucking idiot there.
The motto, it means more, always means a little bit more to them than it does to anyone else.
Whatever it meant to you.
Yeah.
More.
And a little bit more. Right? So they make medals because no one does it like them. So they make their own medals. No, that's just like, what is that? Imagine if I said to you, Steve, when we were winning all those titles, I'm gonna start making medals for us all. You'd be like, Jay.
It's a bad idea.
They do it, and like 80,000 other Scousers go, great idea, where can I get them? Why, like, are you actually mad? It's cringeworthy. Jesus, and it's just going to get worse. It's going to get worse when it actually happens, which unfortunately now it looks inevitable.
Does it make it easier though, where they're going to win it in an empty stadium and obviously they won't be able to have the bus parade?
Yeah.
Does that give you a little bit of, you know, it's a little bit easier than them gloating about it as much?
Is there a list of like things you can get point deductions for? Because how fucking funny would it be? Right. Let's be honest. They've won it. So this is me just exploring. I'm in row 13, right at the back, digging in the fucking drawer now. Right. They're winning it. But can I have 3 seconds of fun before they do? What is the list of shit that you can get points deductions for? Because if there was just... If the season was null and void, everyone go, Liverpool won that. If they did it on points per game, Liverpool won that. But what if they force it back, play an unregistered player, get a 10-point deduction and come second? Like, I'll die laughing.
They'd have to, like, play an unregistered player that's on drugs, that starts a riot, that causes a 22-man brawl.
So you're saying it's possible?
Yeah, so it's possible to get all those points deducted that they need, because they've walked it, haven't they, really? That's the sad thing.
The thing is, if that happened, Kenny Dalglish has just put the player's face on a T-shirt and they would get them all rescinded.
That's true. He would. He'd come out in solidarity, wouldn't he? Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, the mad thing is, like, people are saying, and I've seen this argument, oh, you know, you got to do social distancing and you can't have loads of people on the streets crowding around, and if they win it, they're going to celebrate. When they win it, they're all going to celebrate in crowds. And then I've seen Liverpool fans say, no, we won't. And I think, why lie? Why? If that was me, I'd be like, yeah, we are. We've not won it for 30 years. Fuck you. Yes, we're going to go out.
Kiss my friend on the mouth.
Yeah. Why pretend you're not? Why go, oh, no, we won't? We'll sit at home and go, well, that was worth the wait for 30 years. Of course you're going to go out and congregate around Liverpool or Anfield or whatever. It's going to happen. There's no point in pretending you're not. It's just daft. Just, you know, they know it's coming, so just accept it.
Speaking of things that we know is probably coming and we don't want to accept, it sounds like a Gallo. You like that for a...
That is a great segue, mate. That is... Fucking...
Mate,
seriously. if I had a cap, I'd doff it.
I'll send you one. The caps are available in all colours at the link in the description. It sounds like a Gallo's going. Who had a bigger impact, a Gallo or Larson? I think it might be Igalo.
Oh, Steve.
I don't think I've ever loved a player as quickly.
Steve.
Yeah.
Steve, come on. Don't do this to me. That's hard.
Igalo, innit? But it's Igalo, though, innit?
I think it's Igalo because I think Larson came with a big reputation. And I think when Igalo signed, it was pretty much written off, wasn't it, before he got off that plane. And then I think straight away, the way he sort of opened his heart to the club. For me, I'm going with Igalo. I agree with you, Steve.
No, I'll have to go. Not to be contrary for the sake of it, but I'd have to go with Larson. He gave us that little bit of a bump to get to the title. I think that was number 18 we won that season? I can't remember. It was a seminal title.
It was earlier than that. It might have been like 16.
It was 2007 when it came.
It's 06.
Yeah. And, you know, he played his part as well. He obviously, I mean, we had him on Devils and he was talking about how he never got a medal even though he was entitled to one. I think Fergie asked to get him one and he was entitled to one. The Premier League made.
See, that's who needs a fucking medal. Not fucking Bill and Dave, the fucking brickies from Eton.
Someone has actually won the Premier League.
Yeah, he actually won it. And he didn't get a medal before he fucking won it either.
He's not even got one 10 years later. And he actually played in the games that helped us win the league.
All right, fuck this, guys. I'm going to fuck everything off I was going to do this week and I'm going to go get Henrik Larsson a medal.
Yeah, I think you should, mate. Seriously. If, like you say, if Dave from Bootle's got one, then it's it's only right that, you know, Henrik Larsson, who actually played games, scored goals, and won the title with Manchester United as a player, should maybe get a medal for his efforts. So I'd go Larsson as well. But I love Ighalo. Don't get me wrong. That's not saying, you know, I don't like him. But I think Larsson, you know, helps us win something. And at a time when, yes, he had a reputation, but I'll be honest with you, I was one of the ones going, really? Is this the answer? I know he had a good Champions League final when he came on and made an impact, but I was a bit like sceptical. But he was meant that first game, he was outstanding. He's sort of, and he did that thing of his professionalism and the way he approached training. It made everyone else sort of, in a way that Ighalo maybe has his positivity lifting everyone. Yeah. Larsson did that with all the other team and all the players absolutely raving about him, saying this
isn't
guy.
Isn't it mad how there's players like Larsson with that sort of mentality that exist in the modern day still, where, and by that I mean, like, where people can be surprised by the professionalism of another professional. Why isn't that just the standard?
And you think about it, you're coming into a team at its peak almost, excuse me, with Sir Alex Ferguson, and I think, you know, Ronaldo and all these players, and, you know, the sort of top-level players, and Vidic and Evra and, you know, Rio. So it's not like you're coming into a team that's struggling, that's maybe players have taken their eye off the ball. You're coming into a team that's sort of like, they've got the highest standards in the league. And yet you've got standards that high that other players notice it and go,
isn't it mad that that's the thing?
Yeah, honestly, mate. It was interesting as well when, what I liked about Larsson as well, because I always had this image of him being like this dead, nice and friendly and so almost soft character. And he is friendly in that, but he's actually got a bit of like, almost arrogance about him. He knows how good he was, you know? And it's like, I didn't expect that about him, but he was like, you know, well, yeah, you know, Fergie wanted me to stay and rightly so sort of thing. And you think, you know, and you know, you can't argue because it's true. He's mint.
Most of these players are the 1% of their friendship group, which is the 1% of their town, which sometimes is the 1% of their fucking country. You know, like these, and even that, they might even be the 1% of that 1%. To be as good as Henrik Larsson, you don't know someone who knows someone as good as Henrik Larsson.
No, you don't. You're right. It's like you say, it's like the elitist of the elite. Say, do you know what I mean? And you've got, and when you look at what you could put someone like Larsson in, you know, he goes to Barcelona, he comes off the bench and wins in the Champions League, more or less. You know, he has a hand in the winning goal, doesn't he? He's, for me, the best player ever played in Scotland. I know I'm going to get loads of people arguing that, but he is. I don't care what anyone says. And then you've got players like Zlatan looking up to him. Zlatan don't look up to anyone. And even Zlatan raves about Larsson. That's on you know what I mean? That's the sort of, like you say, it's just the elite of the elite of the elite. It's like, it doesn't get any higher than that. You can't be any better than what he
wants. That guy's a little bit arrogant. Or is he? Does he really, Jay?
You know what I mean? No, because that persona, I had him down as a bit, I don't know.
Berbatov, you're like, there's an edge to all of these motherfuckers. Yeah, even like true. Phil Neville. Phil Neville's probably got a bigger edge than anyone is prepared to admit.
I'm not going to admit that.
It's funny though, because I think me and you spoke about this before, Steve, and you've read it, Scotty, haven't you? Nick Hornby, Fever Pitch.
Yeah, great book.
And there's a chapter on Gus Caesar, and what it talks about, Gus Caesar's player that played for Arsenal, and he came through the youth, got into the first team, had a shocker in the 1987 League Cup final, cost him the game, and more or less his career fizzled out. He moved down the leagues and drops out. But the point the book makes is, if you get to that level of playing for Arsenal or United or whoever, even if you're one of the worst players ever played at that level or for that team, you're still the best in your school, your county, your area. People are talking about you when you're 14, 13, who've never met you. You know, you have to be, like you just said, Steve, at the 0.1% or whatever it is, at the very top. To get to that, you don't get into a Premier League or a First Division, as it was then, team as a youngster unless you're amazing. You know what I mean? So when we like look at some players, he's crap. He's still unreal at football. Do you know what I mean? Like if we played football with a semi-pro, you notice him and think they're pretty good.
Oh my god, yeah.
So it is mad how sometimes you can almost forget that, can't you? And just think, oh shit. But you have to put it in perspective. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, yeah.
Do you think you felt like Larsson didn't have that edge about him because he came from Scottish football? Because of the type of football that's played. No, but do you know what I mean? Because he was sort of like looked as the silky foreigner, wasn't he, in the Scottish League, which is not a bit rougher of a game. So you sort of expect that when you're looking from far out. Did you think he was going to be as good as he was because he come from Scotland?
I think the thing with Larsson is, I rated him at Celtic, and I thought he was there. Obviously, no, you know, I'm hardly being original here by saying he was their standout player, but he was. but then he went to Barca, and I thought, Barca to me felt like his swan song, and I felt like, you know, he went to Sweden, didn't he? And then I felt we were getting him perhaps after he had something to offer. First game, first 10 minutes of his first game, I realised I was completely wrong, and this guy still had a lot to go in for him. And then in terms of like the way he is, I'd not seen many interviews with him. I didn't know a lot about him. So it was just like, I just assumed because he was so popular and he was pretty quietly spoken on the pitch that maybe he was a little bit humble. Not saying he's not humble, but you know what I mean? Like a bit of a quiet character and didn't have that sort of arrogance that he did. And rightly so, like I said, you know, like we've said, he's the best of the best bunch. So it's only right that he's not even arrogance, just sort of honesty, really. He knows how good he was. You know what I mean? He wasn't like being, the business, whatever he was saying, you know, I was that good that Sir Alex wanted me twice and then wanted me to stay, but I'd made a commitment. And it was just fascinating, really, to sort of see that and get that side of him, because I think some younger fans probably look at it and who love stats and who didn't see him and think, oh, what, he played 10 games for us or whatever, gives a toss.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that impact was massive.
The impact was it was real, it was tangible. You could feel it, and we needed it at that time as well. I can't remember who was injured. Or off form. Was Saha injured?
I think so.
Let me go fucking check the record book, Jesus.
It was one of those rare moments where Louis Saha had a bit of a knock, I think.
He's a nightmare as well, because he was so good. He was so good. Before we move on anyway, like talking about, you know, the arrogance and stuff like that, I remember I interviewed Robbo about 5 years ago, and he was still saying he was playing seven-a-side at JJB. And I was like, oh, just real casual, like, oh, do you still get stuck in? He's like, fucking right, I do, yeah. You're like, oh, okay. Shit.
That's meant that. That is quality. We think with Robbo, I've interviewed him a couple of times. I've been lucky enough to interview him a couple of times myself. How down-to-earth he is, and just, like, it's unreal when I've interviewed him. Because I used to interview him for radio, where I didn't interview him at Old Trafford. And because he still works for the club, they're usually quite guarded, you know, like, they won't say so. He just chat about anything. And he was just like, I was in awe of him because I'm old enough to remember him playing. And he was just like, it was just weird because he just didn't have any sort of ego to him. He just like, you know, he was just meant to talk to. He was one of my favourite people to interview.
He had six bottles of Budweiser in 40 minutes of me interviewing him.
Ledge.
And I've just realised something that I'll mention off air.
Right. Yeah, if you say that, then yeah, probably for the best. We don't want to get anyone into trouble, especially not our hero.
I've just WhatsApped it.
I was actually thinking that, but I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, I'm not out in one of the fucking biggest legends in the club. Fuck that noise. So Igalo, then why aren't we paying 20 million for him? Because I had a look before. Someone replied to a tweet I saw, and they said he's worth 3 million tops. And I was like, do transfers even happen for 3 million? That sounds like a fucking Salford buy, really. I was like, I don't know if anyone even moves for 3 million at the moment. So I had a look last summer. Arnautovic moved to China, coincidentally, for about 21 million, 31 years of age. Would you say he's better, or at least in and around the ballpark of Arnautovic? Because I think I would, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean,
that's market value.
It is. And listen, I'm a bit torn with Igalo. I love him. He's been a breath of fresh air. But part of me thinks maybe him going out on a relative high is okay. Do you know what I mean? Because maybe for sort of long term, obviously, at the ages, he wasn't the answer long term. And maybe we can get someone else who could be. But then the other side to that is I see we're linked with, like, is it Josh King? And you think that's a bit of a sideways step. If you're not going to get Igalo, you're going to go for Josh King. Is that really much of an improvement? And the way Igalo came in as well, is Josh King going to do that? Because not few players have come into United and absolutely embraced everything about it and lifted not just the players, but the fans were all. And I was a convert. You know, the day we got him, I was like, this is a bit of a joke. We're signing a player who scored one in his last 18 for what?
Yeah, and then crying when he scored at Old Trafford.
No. It's what is proper emotion, isn't it? So, you know, I don't know. It's a bit of a weird one, because I think it's one of them. If he'd have stayed, no one would be complaining. And I think the fact he's going, he's not the end of the world. But we have to go out and get a decent replacement. Like you said, 3 million quid isn't, and that's not happening. You're going to have to spend at least 20, 30 mil just to get a stopgap striker, let alone someone who's got a bit to offer long term.
So it's 20 million quid for Ighalo. I mean, if you'd have said 20 million up front, you'd have gone, all right, okay, that's probably a bit much. 20 million now, after we've seen him, after we've seen the impact that he's had, are you fucking kidding me? Go get it out of safe. Save it.
Do you think it's having any impact on what the budget's going to be for transfers with the coronavirus and stuff? Do you think that's having a knock-on effect on what we can sort of spend? And also, if he's going to go back, is he going to be able to play any of the games that, you know, behind closed doors? Because his contract finishes at the end of June, doesn't it? So is he not going to be playing for us again?
Yeah, supposedly. Yeah. And it, 2 weeks in it until their season begins or something. Yeah. And they've gone, we want him back. Oh, fuck.
I know. I mean, it's weird, isn't it? Because in a way, we've benefited. I mean, is Marcus fit again now?
Not 100%.
Not 100%. Paul Pogba's fit, is it? Is your take it? Well, who knows? I was going to say, in a way, we've benefited because Marcus was never going to be fit to play the games that he could be fit for now, because obviously we've had this 2 month postponement, or whatever. Ditto Paul Pogba. So you might look at that way and go, if those players do feature, we've had a bit of a touch there. But it is a shame because I would have liked to have seen Ighalo finish the season, and I think we would have got top four and he would have been a part of that. And, you know, we'd have sailed off into the sunset with an even bigger kudos than he gets at the minute. But I think most fans appreciate what he's done. So, you know, it's been one of the happiest stories recently with United, you know, even though it's not panned out for him. I think we still give him credit because, like I say, you know, what is it, 8 games, 4 goals?
Yep.
Can't argue with that, really. And having that impact as well, do you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's been good.
I'm just going to have to put this on because this is mental. We've got 2 Stretford Paddock fan TV channels. And there's another one. They're arguing about who is the best Stretford Paddock fan TV channel.
Did you see the lad asking about Beckham as well?
No, what?
It's some Kratos. He said, where can one get Man United 99 Beckham authentic jersey? I can't find one anywhere. In the super chat, I think.
Oh, sorry, no, I didn't see that.
It's at 2:04 if you want to see it.
All right, it's all the way back.
Yeah, sorry, I went to flag
it. An authentic one, you're looking at eBay or classic football shirts who are going to have your ass for about 300 quid, aren't they, for one?
It's man, I get, you know what, I've left shirts places, I've given them away, just, you know what I mean? I was never one of them for collecting shirts, I just used to. And then you look back and think, oh, we should have kept some of them because, like you say, you know, they're going silly money, aren't they, on classic football shirts or whatever, or eBay. Get daft money for him. But, yeah, that is a 99 Beckham one.
Maybe. No, yeah, that's dull.
I've got a Solskjaer one, which Clegg told me he'd get signed for us. But I haven't had a chance to see him, to give it him yet. That'd be a good one.
Just a bit, mate, yeah.
It's the European one as well. It's not the
is it?
One.
Right, so that's the one then, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, definitely. Try not to.
It's got some weird, bogus fucking name and number on the back, though. It isn't the official one. I don't know where my mum got that one done. I don't know what it's from. I think I think the Awake, it had a different font. United was just fucking mad, weren't they?
Is it Solskjaer with like a Z and a C? Yeah.
Well, it says Solskjaer. It's got Solskjaer 20 on it, but it ain't the right font. And you're like, whatever.
Maybe not.
My mum, Joe, as well. My mum absolutely fucking annihilated. You've probably all seen that Cantona, when he signed, he's at Old Trafford. He's got a cap on, he's got a scarf, and he holds up a shirt with Cantona on the back. Yeah. I got that shirt. The Cantona shirt. I had my birthday party at Old Trafford that day, my 9th birthday party, and we couldn't use the whole tour because you get the tour as part of your birthday thing because there was a fucking press conference going on because we'd signed Cantona. So they had to cut half the tour in half. So there's like, yeah, do you want that shirt? There's like a bit of a compensation sort of thing. So my mum's sewn a black number on it. So it's got Cantona in white. She's hand-sewn a black number 7 on the back of it.
To be fair though, didn't you like get the footballs as well and go and take him into school and fucking ruin it?
Yeah, we lost the game though, so it don't matter.
Do you know what I mean? Let's not start.
Sheffield Wednesday, we lost the League Cup final. Sheffield Wednesday, Lee Sharp threw me the ball.
And what did you do
after
with it?
The game, took it in school. Cases don't last 5 minutes on a school playground. You know the drill.
So I'm going to go with your mum, but you're not much better.
Yeah, fair play.
Got no sense of nostalgia, have you, kids? Hey, well,
we fucking lost. Cantona one's a mistake, hands down. But we fucking lost the League Cup final. Fuck that, not
that was, when was fuck... that? Sorry, that was the 91 one, was it?
91, yeah. First time at Wembley.
It was John Sheridan, wasn't it? Was it John Sheridan?
Yeah, Sheridan.
Chucky tells a funny story. He says, like, in 2007 or whatever, he was on a coaching staff and he sat with Fergie having dinner in the canteen. In the middle of the dinner, Fergie goes, in 91, you in at Wembley, you let him go for that bloody goal. Cost me a trophy, that. And then carries on eating his dinner. Chucky's like, right, yeah, okay.
we need to get Chucky on, actually. I saw him doing something.
I'll get on to him again, we'll get him on, mate. Well, he rang me when Fellaini was ill, asking him if Mrs. was okay.
Did he really?
He did. He said, I'm ringing, is your Mrs. okay? And I was like, wow, what are you on about? He's like, I've just seen Fellaini's in hospital. Oh, he's got the virus, sorry. I was like, all right, yeah, she's fine. She's getting through it. Just normal conversations, normal day in the life. Brian McClare ringing me about my missus is okay.
When you're not employed, he's not a pundit and he's not coaching anymore. What the fuck? Because I would say most footballers are in the category of what doing McClare is now. Made enough that they don't need to work, but aren't at Ocean Club of Beef for fucking touching up kids like other people do. What do they do? What is your day to day as made enough, can't really be arse working, didn't get a coaching job, or did and I'm now not in it. What's the day-to-day life of that, like, 50-year-old ex-player?
I mean, it's different levels, isn't it? You know that better than anyone, Steve. You know some players who had maybe 2 or 3 years at the top. I think Shockey's had 20 in coaching, and he's in a privileged position where he can say no to a lot of stuff. He does, he says no to lots of stuff. And it's mad because I used to sort of work with Shockey, and he'd get requests from like bloggers and stuff who wanted to chat to him, and he'd be like, there'd be students, and he'd be like, yeah, let's do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's got no airs and graces, he's that way. But you're right, I mean, you'll know him as well. I know a couple of footballers or ex-pros, and a lot of them are just bored, senseless. You get sent so many messages, so many memes and stuff of any ex-pros because
it's like having a fucking mad semi-racist uncle, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's what it's like.
It's like, if you were that way inclined, you could well make some money off it, like selling it for the papers. Because some of the stuff you get sent is like, whoa. Do you know what I mean? But it's like, because they're so bored. Yeah, they're just like, obviously, you've gone from training 6 days a week or whatever to sitting around wondering what you're going to do.
Do you know when Cantona put that, should we say knob, cracking an egg on his Instagram?
Oh, yeah.
I believe it was a blonde-haired Manchester United centre-half that had sent him that.
I wonder who that could be. That doesn't surprise me. Yeah, because he was infamous for that sort of stuff, wasn't he?
Where's Chucky's name come from, by the way? Because that's the weirdest nickname ever. Isn't it? Or is it just a pure 80s thing? We got Sparky, we got Chucky.
Eclair.
Eclair, wasn't it?
Eclair.
Oh.
He hates it though, doesn't he?
He don't mind it. He says you should never choose your own nickname. That's why I didn't like Paul Lynch being called the governor.
He's 100% correct.
You need to call me
Madman. Why? Yeah. Well, I just decided that everyone needs to call me that. Fuck off. You're on about.
Start calling me Harvey's Nails.
Yeah. No. Why? Because I'd like to be called that. Yeah, no, that's not how it works, you dick.
I'm not going to do that ever.
That might, if you was making a man rules list, you can't choose your own nicknames. Got to be right up there. Can't choose your own nicknames like coming standing for a piss next to someone when there's 100 freestyles. That's up there with the most egregious shit another man can do.
Yeah, social distance, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're right. Because have you ever seen New Jack City?
Where's the Snipes?
Yeah, you've seen Chris Rocky. That's called Pookie, innit?
Yep.
And for a few years, my nickname was Pookie. Now, believe me, I did not want that as a fucking nickname, right?
Is he a crackhead?
Yeah, big time. Yeah. You may get the reason. Yeah, let's not go down that rabbit hole. But yeah, You may get where this is going. I'm not a cracker, but you know what I mean. I might like this. Let's leave it there.
All right, then we just move on, shall we? Yeah.
The point is, I didn't choose that nickname of Pookie. It got given to me, and it's been about 4 years. And now and again, I still have old mates who I see like bumping it. And go, oh, Pookie, what's happening? So yeah, that wasn't one I chose, and I certainly wouldn't have chose that one if I had a choice in the matter. So yeah, it is a rule. Pookie, or someone saying, not like Seymour Pookie. No, it was like, I think it was spelled P-double-O-K-Y.
I've only ever had two nicknames, and none of them have really carried over. One was when I was in the army, which was Fathead, which is not a fucking great nickname to have. And once my commanding officer forgot my name and was like, Fathead, like, what?
I bet you were buzzing when that started sticking, weren't you? Like, oh, nice one. Cheers for that.
You've got to embrace it, haven't you? So, yeah. You've seen like patrol hats, like little like mountain equipment, sort of like a bit fleecy, the bit waterproof on the top. They've got like ears on them and stuff like that. It's called a patrol hat. Basically, they've got a tiny little pathetic little cycling flap cap sort of thing for it. I wrote Fathead in mine across the fucking top of it like that. Just, you know, you got to embrace it, haven't you? Another one was Boris. Which Boris? Made no fuck. Yeah, it was 2002. Not that Boris.
Oh no,
well better Boris.
Yeah,
2002. So it's not long after fucking Lockstock and that's come out, isn't it? So it was after Boris the Blade, yeah. Which is a well better nickname, but like needs a lot of explaining.
Yeah, no, that's all right. Yeah, I was thinking of The Wire at first, but then no, yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah,
the kind of Wire in the call Boris, the Russian.
Our kid, you ever had a nickname?
It's our kid. Scotty just usually is a bit of a shit nickname. I was called we didn't know what my background was when I was growing up. So whenever it was like World Cup season, I'd always be called the Peruvian or the Jew. Not like Israel's got a well-known football team, you know. So I was called the Jew or Diego as well was another one I used to get when I was little. Racist mates.
Different era.
Yeah. It was acceptable in the 80s.
Different times, yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot acceptable in the 80s.
You asked the question.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, fair play.
You wouldn't be shouting that on a football pitch now, would you, to someone?
That's what they used to shout, honestly. Jew on your head. That was terrible.
Yeah. You probably get a fine nowadays.
Yeah, big time.
Fucking hell.
There's something for the Liverpool team to do. to lose points.
Yeah, maybe they could do that, yeah. Even Andy Bump.
Hell of a shout.
It's just weird, isn't it? It's all weird at the minute.
Have you lot chronicled working at a call centre together on the podcast yet?
No. You know what, right? It sounds shit because you think a call centre, how fucking amusing is that? But it was a laugh.
It was good.
Of course it's a laugh. Everyone's on minimum wage. No one cares, more importantly. Like, I worked at a pizza shop when I was at college, and if there was like, you didn't come in today, you're like, I know.
What
are you going to do, sack you? Sound.
Yeah. There's an occasion of that. Remember, are you going to say it? When we got bollocked because we've got the internet. We've only just got the internet at OneTel, the call centre, and we were just fucking around looking at rap lyrics. And our boss came over to us and went like, excuse me, do you know how much work I've got to do over there? I said, well, you get paid more than me. Well, fucking crack on and do it.
You get paid more than I do, dickhead.
Yeah.
She went off in tears. Well, the best thing was, I left, right? You got paid 2 weeks in arrears and 2 weeks in advance. So once I got my advance wage, I left. Once I got paid, I left, right, to go work in Malia. And then Scotty just joined me a week later.
I never knew you worked in Malia.
Yeah, we sat there. We both did it 2003.
One of them fucking Kamaki shot testers.
Yeah, man. Come and get in my bar.
Yeah.
Come in my bar. Bally Davro's in there. Bobby Davro's in there telling jokes. It's meant.
What's the fucking business model for having some dickhead outside giving away free shots of nonsense?
Mate, it's so competitive out there, isn't it? There's so many bars, people just can't make their mind up. So they used to get people like me and Scotty give us like the equivalent of 4p.
Whoa, I went behind the bar.
Sorry. I had about, do you know what, as well? The bad thing is, I had about 5 different jobs doing the same thing because I kept getting sacked for being too pissed. And the worst one was, right, I worked at this karaoke bar, right? And then my boss, he was all right. He was a nice guy. I still got on with him after he sat me. But he had all these flyers printed, and he was going on about all these flyers all week. He goes, I've got these flyers. These flyers are going to bring big business. I spend lots of money on these flyers. It's going on and on about him, right? Anyway, the flyers finally arrived, and I was absolutely levered out of my head. And it was windy, and all the flyers blew away. And like, I dropped some in the street, and it all blew away. And he just went, Malacca, you get too drunk, you're sacked. And that was it. He just fucking fined me. So that was like my thing. I'd get sacked, find another job, and work there for a few months.
Justin didn't really talk them into the bar, did you? There were many occasions where you picked them up on the shoulders and then pretty much just run in.
No, it wasn't like sexual assault or anything like that. Was it?
Whoa. Nobody mentioned any allegations about sexual assault.
Picking up women, like physically abusing them.
Their line was getting my bar and then used to pick them up and run in.
No, That wasn't me. Mate, I was about 6 stone wet through. There was no way I was picking up women. I could barely walk myself. No, I used to just... and I was levered all the time. There was no chance of me picking up anyone. I'd have broke the legs. It was just daft shit. We used to have games and just like... sometimes you didn't even have to charge them drinks. If it was like a load of girls, just say, come in and get a barman. Like, Scotty's giving free drinks.
Yeah. Oh, do you remember that wanker DJ that used to be at the bar, painter or whatever it was? Well, basically, Steve, we used to live on like our own complex for all the workers. And there was this DJ there, and he thought it was the bollocks. It was getting a different girl night in, night out. And we were all just complete wreckheads, fucking just doing all sorts. And he brought this girl back to his apartment and lay out a load of candles and shit and was playing Celine Dion music. He wasn't banging her. He was making love. So we filmed it through the through the side of the window. And then the following night, we played it in the pub. You remember him?
Yeah, I'm still mates with him, so I'm not saying anything. About
I'm not. So...
I'm not. He's on my Facebook. I'm not. I don't speak to him.
Fucking hell. Did you do any lads' holidays? Just lads' holidays where you didn't just go and work?
We did. We did the World Cup together, didn't we?
Yeah, went to Brazil.
Went to Brazil together as a lads' holiday.
What, the 2014 one?
Did that.
Six years ago this and next month, won't it?
Yeah.
I meant I mean that's a fucking belter. That's far too sophisticated for the shit I'm on about. You're Malia, you're Zante, you're a beefer, Iron Napper.
We did I me and Scotty both had different sets. We did like I've done that, not together though. We both had different sets of friends, so I did a few lads' holidays like Magaluf and places like that. But it was always like fucking nightmare, to be honest with you. You know, you look back at them and think, oh, great times. Most of our lads' holidays were just dramas. It was just fucking like, yeah, just nonsense going on all the time. Right.
Yeah, we went to
club having to hide and get early flights home and stuff like that.
That's exactly club 18 to 30 in Magaluf. And we checked in at 8 o'clock in the evening and we were kicked out by 3 o'clock in the morning because somebody had shit in the B-day and fucking knocked it out and then kicked doors down left, right and centre. So we pretty much kicked out and then we had to get a flight home 2 days later.
Fucking hell.
I think there's a record in there somewhere.
We went to Magaluf for my mate stag do. It's probably about 2013 or 14, somewhere around there, I reckon. And it was 36 of us went. And we only did, I think it was fucking like, did Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and then went home on the Monday. And I managed to do it all in about 8 hours kip. I was doing about 2 hours kip a night and just staying on it. And I annoyed myself by the Sunday. I wanted to fucking like lose myself, I think, by the fucking Sunday.
Yeah.
It's just not a healthy fucking state of affairs to be in, is it?
No, it's, you know what? That's the thing in like
walking around a megaphone for 2 days, just mithering every cunt. I went on the beach and was commentating people trying to bang with my megaphone.
Do you know what? This is why I feel bad. You know when you see like pictures of like everyone was taking the pictures out of them lads all stood out like seeing on muscly lads that stood and everyone's used it as a meme. Do you know what I mean? Like dressed up and that.
Yeah, and the no sock brigade.
Yeah. And everyone takes a piss and then you see all these videos and stuff. And I think we're all sort of similar-ish age and we got away with a lot of shit because there wasn't like camera phones.
Oh mate,
do you know what I mean? Like there wasn't. I say this all the time. You know, Like, you know, I've got photo, the photos I've
career
got.
Career ending. Of course the
it is. Of course yeah. it is. If someone went, oh, look, it's the Arsenal here in 2006, you know, Beef or whoever, or Scotty in Mallory in 2003, you'd be like, no way did he do that and say that. That's, you know, that's
I've got a photograph, which is only like PG because my arm's in the way of my knob, which we put it on Patreon the other day.
What did you do?
But that was because all we had was a digital camera. This is 2007. Malia, actually, 2007. And you just think, I wasn't allowed to have shots because I got done for assault just after I come back from Afghanistan. So I was on a shot ban. So you have all the tour t-shirts made up and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Mine said, do not serve me shots right here. So I wasn't allowed to have shots. So on the low.
That's a good idea, isn't it? Because every barman's not going to then try to serve me shots.
So on the low, my mate goes, what we'll do is, me and you will go shot for shot, and then when nothing's happened, we'll tell all our lads the next day and you'll be able to do shots again. And I was like, right, sound. So basically I ended up getting in a big fight. I stood on top of a bar and pissed into the ice tray. I got all my clothes off and ran right down the strip. I headbutted a lamppost and I kicked over a load of mopeds. And then the next morning around the pool, he was like, yeah, guess what? You're never doing fucking shots. But you just think, any of that on video is like you're never getting a decent job ever again, are you? No. Whereas there's a camera, there's a digital camera got three snaps, all of which are barely recognizable. Happy days.
That's it, man. Do you know what I mean? Like,
as long as it won't stand up in the court a lot.
No,
pixelated.
You can't see me, Nick.
I can't believe they made a t-shirt as a do not give me shots. Do you know what I mean?
Red rag to a bull in it.
So I mean, I could have done with one of them back in the day that said, "Do not give me sniff."
Yeah, and however, I've clearly matured because on the rum down, I have more fucking shots on that thing than is humanly fucking possible to be having. I was drunk on Saturday.
The best one. My favourite was when me, you, and Macca were sat at the table together, and you turned to us both and went, "Lads, we've done two bottles in." Macca was driving, and I don't drink.
Is this the last game?
Steve, we haven't done two bottles in. Me and I have one drink between us. We haven't had a glass. You've done two bottles in. Yeah, hence the reason you can't even remember the fucking score.
I don't remember the game, no. Oh, I don't remember the game at all. Good.
It was such a laugh. That watch along was amazing.
Why is it though? Because why can't, if I did that every day, I'd be dead by like Christmas. But it is such a fucking good laugh doing that.
Oh, mate, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, watching it's a laugh, but being in it, and it's just, it's just carnage. Do you know what I mean? It's fucking madness, but it's funny. Do you know what I mean? It's even better when there's like, you know, it's to be honest with you, the game, which was a good game because we absolutely battered last when I was on with you, was almost irrelevant. It's like, oh, by the way, we've got a fifth. Oh, right, nice.
I don't know what I was drunker for, because people was like, as if you've got that drunk celebrating this. Like, dickhead, I decided 2 weeks ago I was getting this drunk. Like, I didn't know, it didn't matter if this ended 0-0, I was still gonna be this fucking drunk. We did it for the Tranmere game and the last game, and Tranmere has become a verb now. Tranmere.
You sent me a match review for Devils, which was just fucking genius.
Just me and Alex had it.
And you're struggling. You were trying. You were going. Tranmere, innit? Tranmere. What? Yeah. What happened? Oh, we won. Harry Maguire scored, didn't he? What's going on? But then I was like, can we put this out? Yes, of course we can. Let's do that. And everyone loved it.
There was a few people in the comments that was fucking complaining, and he's just like,
oh, yeah, crap. Like they were having like, it was literally like, oh, mate, and I think the, you know, we've beaten Tranmere 6-0, whatever it was. You're not gonna get, you know, the tactics board out and the fucking insightful analysis. It was half our reserves battered a League Two team, whatever, our League One. So there's, you know, let's just fucking.
Here's the only analysis you actually need from that game is one, rum's fucking belting. And two, Red Shrew barbecue delivery doesn't really stack up. That's all you need to know. Master Wes is trying to get it back on track. He says, just tuning in now. Is Igalo leaving? And then someone else had a really good one. Rue, it says United must have signed someone if he's been let go. That's an interesting hypothesis, would you reckon?
I don't know, because I think he was almost destined anyway to go. I think it was very difficult for him to extend his deal, especially with what's happened as well, because there's so much uncertainty. And all the points we spoke about, his age, the fact that, you know, also you've got to take into consideration as well. We've got Martial, Marcus and Mason as well. We're not short of attacking.
But he's different to all of them, isn't he?
He is different, you're right. And I do think we do need another striker. But it's not like desperate times where it's like we must sign someone, so let's just go for him. And, you know, we do have a bit of breathing space as well with what's going on, where we can maybe look at other options and make a decision. I'm, you know, like I said, it's just what worries me a little bit is the whole Josh King thing, because for me, that's a bit of a sideways step. And I think
we was also in for him in January, weren't we? So it wouldn't be a shock if he'd completed that now.
Is there some connection between Ollie and his agent or something? Is that?
Isn't Igalo the same agent?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, because I think Igalo, Josh King, and Ollie all have the same agent. Because Josh King's obviously he's Norwegian, isn't he? Josh King.
Most Norwegian name, have I, of course.
Oh, he's got a Manc accent as well. I interviewed him once. He speaks like us.
He walks in and went.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, I think that, but I mean, I get that, because sometimes, you know, if you know the agent and it's a player that you want, the deal can get done quickly and painlessly, so it makes sense that way. But, you know, you shouldn't just be going for players because you can get them easily. You should be going for the players that you want. So,
why didn't we get, if we're going to go for Josh King now, why didn't it go through last time then?
I think Igalo was main choice.
But Eddie Howe started playing hardball, I think. Because it was like the 11th hour, it was the last day of the transfer window.
Yeah.
He's obviously in a relegation battle. So he wanted the deal, like, if you wanted that deal done, he wanted it done in the morning for a load of money so he could go out in the afternoon and ram home a deal to replace Josh King. And it was like, United were like, well, we're not going to give you, I think Eddie Howe wanted like 40 million or something, 50 mil. United were like, we're not going to do that, we'll give you 20 mil. And then he was like, well, no, because I can't go out and just, you know, if you've got 50 mil to play with, then maybe I can go get a replacement. But with Sweaty, as Steve was saying earlier, that doesn't buy you fucking anyone nowadays.
Isn't it fucking wild how, especially with a striker, I think it's fair to say, a striker's probably somewhere in the region of like 10% of your workforce sort of quality, isn't it? It might be a bit lower, but let's just say it's like 10% of whatever someone's team is worth. And so many people go shopping for it at the 11th hour. Isn't that like £100 million business that's reliant on a guy that can score goals, and you're going to leave it till the last day and scramble around? Like, Eddie Howe's right. You're not going to, okay, maybe you're not 100% happy and convinced like Josh King's going to do you this, that, and the other, but he's here and you know what you're getting out of him. If that's gone tomorrow and you've got to go, right, okay, let's get the phone book out. Like, isn't it fucking nuts to think that these businesses rely on doing things so, so badly?
It is, mate. It never makes any sense to me, because even targets that you've known about, like all through the transfer window, sometimes you sort of, it's not like brinkmanship, or if we wait till the 11th hour, then we can get them for less because they know they can't sell him anywhere else. But then the flip side to that is, if you wait till the 11th hour and they don't blink and they say, well, you know what? No, we're not going to fucking sell him. Then you're screwed. You know, I mean, the sort of prime example, I think, for any club anywhere ever, would be United under Moyes on that first summer transfer window, where on that transfer deadline day, you've got imposters trying to get a Hande Herrera deal through. You've got us fucking trying to buy Fabio Quintrao off Real Madrid at half 10 at night and then going, no, because we can't replace him. You've got us paying over the odds for Marouane Fellaini because, the transfer window's ending and we're going to have to pay more because we ain't going to get him. It was just an absolute horror show. And, you know, then you think, well, and for Man United to be doing that, let alone, I mean, I'm sure you've all seen the Sunderland Till I Die documentary, and teams that are lower down the leagues doing it. But if clubs like United are doing it with all our resources and you know, supposed scouting and strategy and all the rest of it, then, yeah, it just doesn't make any sense to me, because I think you're just asking for trouble. And more often than not, it doesn't work. You know, there's more failures than there are success stories. Do you know what I mean? Everyone goes, oh, you know, transfer deadline day deals can work and can do this. But how many of them actually pan out really well? Not many.
Commenters, who's the best ever deadline day deal?
Berber, yeah. springs to mind automatically, doesn't it, that one, Berber, for me.
I can't really think of many more that have been amazing, to be honest.
I think that that deadline day was my favourite. And in this, like, this will, I'll get loads of shit for this because it'll sound bad, but even City at the time, buying Robinho was hilarious. Like, I can't, you know, like, people now will go, fucking hell, it's shit because it started the them buying big players. And but even I was laughing made up when they got him, because
that was when he was outside the ground with tea towels on her head and everything.
Yeah, it was like, even he didn't even know he signed for. He said Chelsea.
That might have been the first time Sky Sports News realised that it was a bit of traction in deadline day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Because didn't City back tried to buy Berbatov, didn't they? Halfway through the day. And Spurs accepted it. And United just ignored it. And Fergie just said, fuck you, we're doing what we want. We've got him. And we got him. And then obviously the famous image of him or footage of him walking across Old Trafford and shaking his hand. But then City were in for everyone because he had all this money suddenly. And then at the 11th hour, he bought Robinho, who was like one of the biggest stars at Madrid. It was just.
Why it went like that for City on deadline day? Do you know why?
No, go on, mate. I can't remember.
What fucking book is it? It might be in a book called The Club, which is talks about the whole transition of the Premier League last 25 years. I'm pretty sure it's in that book. If not, it's another book I can't fucking remember the title of. But it says basically the Abu Dhabi deal rested on them getting someone that day that was a marquee player to announce the Abu Dhabi takeover. Otherwise, they weren't going to take over City. So it was, I think it was Gary Cook that was in charge at the time. And he was literally running around like a blue-ass fly, just fucking banging bids in for everyone. Pele's retired, all right, then, man. fucking just everyone they've ever heard of and just trying to get him. Mad.
That's mad. Someone, people saying in the comments, Rooney was deadline day. I can't remember Rooney.
I know who the worst deadline day was. Falco, was it, do you reckon?
Was it deadline day, Falco?
Well, and then Welbeck was going the other way, wasn't it? Was
I think
day?
It might have been a fucking deadline day, actually.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think most disappointing, I'd say, with Falco. You know what I mean? Because I remember your little Vine Steve when he came on at Old Trafford. I think you were there with Jaden. You went like, Falcao's coming on. And even I was there that day, obviously, and just the excitement. And I remember getting carried away when he first came on. Like, look at his movement. He's going to score 30 goals this season.
Look at his hair. You know what the fuck he's doing? Because we hair like that. That's shit. It's amazing.
It's so weird that, like, he was, well, it's not weird. He just wasn't fully fit, was he? And, you know, Premier League's not the place to come and play if you're not used to it and you're not fit either.
I think he played four matches in the previous 9 months.
Yeah.
That should have been scouted a bit better.
Yeah, but certainly, yeah.
Apparently,
he was really on deadline day. All right, there you go. There's your winner.
That was, I remember that because I mates with Norwood and Craig, and he messaged, like, before anyone had heard of it, saying, don't say anything, but Falcao's coming. And you know, with him, like, normally I get hundreds of these messages, like, fuck off. But because it was him, I was like, and it was so difficult for me not to tweet or tell everyone. Because like, I knew it, and he was like, he's getting on this flight and he's arriving at this. And it was obviously fucking absolute, it was all true. And then I was like, and we were all chatting, I can't wait for Falcao. But it's, yeah, it just didn't work out, did it? Sad, but
it is sad, and it didn't work out at Chelsea for him either, which was a knocking back. He picked it back up again when he went to Monaco, though. I don't know if that shows the strength of the French league, or if that just was enough rehab time for him to, you know, to turn it around a little bit and get in the mix. But you're right, his movement was there at United. I think he was almost just in the shadow. I think we had Van Persie and Rooney at the same time as well, and you're just like, It's too many fucking pegs here, isn't it?
Yeah, they were almost similar in a way that you wouldn't really sort of, you know, it's one or the other, in it. Do you know what I mean? It's not like they all sort of gel together. Or you could have, like, you know, half, like now, for example, you could have Mason, Martial and Marcus up front together. You wouldn't have Rooney, Van Persie and Falcao, would you? They weren't that sort of thing. So it was strange, and he showed glimpses, but Was it in the cup? Was it Cambridge or someone played in the cup where we drew 0-0? I can't remember it was.
Oh, hang on.
Was it Scunthorpe or Cambridge or some proper, like, I can't remember.
Was it Yeovil?
It was Yeovil, wasn't it?
Was it Yeovil? Sorry. Yeovil. And I think we drew, and he played, and he was terrible. And he just thought, this isn't happening. This isn't going to happen for him at all. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's sad.
No, but all the highlights that you had with really bad trance music over and watching him when he was at Porto and Atletico, and you're just going, oh,
Yeah. Oh, mate, I was convinced. I was like, this guy's going to score like 30 goals a season. It's nailed on. He's like, you know.
It's the same vibe as Veron. It was the, I can't believe we've got him. Didn't get that with like any of the big signings that we've got. Never got into the, I can't believe we've got him territory. Because like Rooney was like, yeah, of course, young English talent coming to United makes a lot of sense. Same with Rio. Yeah, I think, you know, he's a really good player. Let's see what happens. Ronaldo, didn't even know him. Like there was nobody that you was like, oh my God. That's a Real Madrid signing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Veron was a Real Madrid signing. Falcao, Real Madrid signing. We don't sign them players. We sign your Ruud van Nistelrooy as we go, huh? Or Stam, and you go, no, and they end up being amazing. That's who we sign. We don't sign them when you know people have posters on them on the walls, and you're like, fucking, and then they don't work.
Well, you're right, because like Veron was the only one under Fergie, really, wasn't he? If we're being honest, like world superstar at the time.
Yeah,
Ronaldo wasn't. He became one, as you said. Rooney plays like English talent. Ruud van Nistelrooy was a sort of player, good young player in a Dutch league. He wasn't a world superstar at that level. Veron was the one, and then
Vinic and Evra, no one had a fucking clue on. Evra was a left winger that played for Monaco, I think.
Yeah.
In the final the previous year, and like Vidic, we didn't even know how to fucking say Vidic at the time. Vidic.
Fulham were going to get Vidic, weren't they? If you saw Chris Coleman the other week, he was saying that Fulham were in for him, and it was going to get done until United came in. And then he said I was screwed then because he was never going to choose Fulham over United. But like you say, those weren't superstars like Falcao was, where you're like, fucking hell, this is it now.
Dwight York. I mean, Andy Cole maybe had a touch of that. I was quite surprised when we signed Andy Cole. But again, someone who's just smashed it in the English league, that's a normal Fergie signing, isn't it, really?
We used to sign the best in the league, didn't we? But never the best in Europe, and that's what Veron did. But if you look at the likes of Falcao and Di Maria, it's not worked, does it, really, when we tried to go that route? So maybe that's what Solskjaer's talking about now, aren't we? Buying the best young players rather than going out and spending a load of money on superstars.
Yeah.
I think some of these players as well, and the way the club have handled it, has not been great. You're coming into a different environment. I don't think we often give them the support they need. Do you know what I mean? It's like, all right, the professional footballers, and they should be able to perform anyway. But I don't know. Sometimes I think we can do a bit more for them. And it's like, and also just the situations in the field, you say, you know, Falcao comes into a team that's in transition with a manager who's found his feet. Ditto Di Maria. And then, you know, anyone since, we've been had a bit of a managerial merry-go-round. So, yeah, I think it is one of them.
That settling in thing is fucking real as well. I don't think enough touch it. And I know I probably should be getting fucking kickbacks off these fuckers now. Although Szymanski is coming on my podcast soon to talk about it. But in the best book that's ever fucking been written about football, one of the chapters is talking about letting players settle and how certain clubs do it. And he says, when you go into the training ground at Manchester City, they have a player welfare and a player liaison team. And one of the things that you walk into, there's a desk with a fucking map and all the new players, they're told, here's where you need to live, which obviously is Beswick, and then here's where you want to send your kids to school, which is obviously like St. Greg's or something. Oh, right, Robbie. Right, I'm sure. So they have a map, which is like, and then they go, there's a phone with an English SIM card, there's this. They give them like a whole sort of induction to the country and to the club. And they said, in the book, it's like so many people will spend 70 million on a transfer and then just expect them to be there on Monday and everything taken care of. Where he says, well, you've got kids, you've got a wife, you've got all of the support network that's built up around a player in a certain city or in a different country. When you bring them into Manchester or to wherever, like, you know, I don't think it mentions City, but I think it mentions one of the French clubs. They go to you while you get your house sorted, we'll be doing like meal prep for you and we'll be delivering that like three times a week, so you've got the right things to be eating and you're not tempted to just get a Domino's in every single night to keep yourself going. And you think, if you're spending £100 million on an asset, which is what a footballer is, spending like a grand a week making sure that they're not fucking, you know, sleeping on a mattress on a floor somewhere, is, you know, you think that, especially when, if you sign a player in pre-season, they don't have any time to sort their shit out. quite often it'll be into training, which will be well intense, and then very often on a tour to America or the Far East. They leave their missus at home, probably with a fucking young kid. And you can imagine them on the phone all the time. Like, the card don't work in England, or like, I can't drive. I'm too scared to fucking, I don't know the roads. All of those little problems are keeping him up at night when he should be concentrating on just banging goals in.
Yeah.
And I think if people started actually putting a bit of emphasis on settling in the fucking assets you've just spent millions on, rather than just leave them and hope for the best, you'd probably have a better fucking outcome with it.
Mate, 100%. You know, I always look at the Wilfred Zaha signing, and he's done some interviews since he signed. I always felt a bit sorry for Zaha because he just didn't have a good time of it at all. And he said, you know, he was given it. I think they bought a house for him in Bramall. He didn't know anyone, obviously. He was just sort of left to his own devices. He's bored. He sat in Bramall in this house. So it's a nice house, but doesn't know anyone. He didn't really get much. All those things you spoke about. I know he's not a foreign player. He knows England or whatever, but he can still have a little bit of welfare, a little bit of care. There was none of that. It was just like, yeah, he turned up for training. He's got a manager that didn't sign him because Moyes took over. And he said he just felt like he just wasn't wanted, and it was just really difficult for him. And, you know, even Di Maria, we all hate. I have sympathy with him. In fact, his house got burgled. I get that. It's not nice. And that's nothing to do with the club as such, but support is what I'm getting at. You can support these guys. You can give them a bit of help because, you know, like you say, it's madness, isn't it? You just didn't know. Let's say you're spending, what, Di Maria, was it 60-odd million on him?
Yeah.
So why not spend an extra fucking $5,000 or whatever just to have someone look after him for a bit or whatever?
And yeah, just think how welcome you feel as a footballer that's just arrived at a new club. And you do your whole tour of Carrington, they do all your MUTV stuff and all that lot, and then just before you go home, there's a guy there in like a people carrier or something like that, and he's like, "Hi, mate, I'm Dave, and I'm going to take your car. I'm going to take you home tonight to the hotel. I'll pick you up again in the morning, and I'll take you to training, and then I'll take you to IKEA or fucking Arriga Bianchi, more likely, afterwards, and you know, we'll box off everything that needs boxing off for you, but there's my number, 24 hours a day, give us a bell if you need anything." Just, I mean, one, how cool is that for a job for a local bloke?
Yeah.
And two, like, that player now goes, okay, I'm going to bed and I'm sleeping tonight, rather than going like, fucking hell, what time do I need to be up? How long does it take to get to training from here? Do I need a cab? Like, do I just fucking phone a taxi and then get a taxi to training? Now you have a guy that's going to be there, be like, yeah, morning, I got you a fucking smoothie on the way in. All that sort of, just little things like that, I think would make such a fucking massive difference to people fucking moving clubs and all that. Like, you know, if you sign in the depths of pre-season when the club's already on tour somewhere, no one gives a fuck about you, and you've just got to fucking start and go with the flow, and that's just mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You're right, and it's like, you know, I think it reminds me a little bit of like what Roy Keane was saying on the FA Cup final, when he played in the FA Cup final when he was at Forest, and he spent all day stressing about tickets. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was sorting out. He said, I was like, it sounds ridiculous, but I was ready to kick off the biggest game of life, and I'm worrying about who I've not got tickets for and whether certain people got the tickets. And no, this is Roy Keane, the most focused sort of guy in the world. So, yeah, definitely any sort of support and help you can give to players, then I'm all for that, because it's going to help them be a better player for you. And that's what we all want. It's like, you know, it's not rocket science.
No, it's nonsense, isn't it? Like, see, you don't need to be fucking thinking like you've got a whole, you know, army of people that are going to go change a light bulb for them and stuff like that. But just people that you know that are going to be there for them. Because even like, I know that's the agent's job, but if your agent's fucking Mino Raiola, well, he's in Miami negotiating some other cunt's move. You got no fucking hope of him coming around and changing that light bulb, have you? So, like, you know, I think there's so much more clubs should really do. And I know United have got a first team liaison who does sort all the tickets and stuff like that for players. You know, she helped us out when we was in Australia and that matter, and got tickets off her. You know, so I imagine that's not the thing anymore. I believe when what can we say here? When Rooney was in charge of tickets, when he was captain at the club, he was in charge of tickets and stuff. So when players had to get away tickets, they had to go through Rooney and sort of like, I don't know if there was a ballot, but they had to apply for an away ticket sort of with Rooney. I got nicked on a ticket off Fellaini, and apparently they had to have a conversation about it afterwards.
Really? Yeah, I had a mate who came by tickets that he shouldn't have got. Let's put it that way. I'm not gonna. Yeah, let's not go in. Let's not go into that.
Yeah, I didn't get any tickets off Laney after that. Oh no, fucking no! Should we call it a day?
Yeah, man. Why not?
Right. If we haven't already, I'll bang a description in. But what's the name of the podcast you two are doing so everyone can go find it?
Scotty and Motty.
Scotty and Motty.
Yeah, YouTube and Audio Boom, so give us a shout.
Yeah. Go fucking check them out. And hopefully, we're only a few weeks away from Premier League returning. But like I've been saying, I do wonder just how much everyone's going to actually dig it when it does come back. I think it's going to be an interesting one. Because if it's the same sort of intensity as it's been in Germany, I think a lot of people will be like, I can't really be fucking arsed with this until it's proper.
Just make sure you got your rum, Steve, to watch it.
I'm all right, mate.
You doubt your last seven cases?
I ain't got about 15 bottles here, I think.
Well, we better get another order in.
No.
We had a bag, we got steaming a good few weeks ago. And loads of rum coming. Today's like, what the fuck is all this rum? I mean, some of them are belting bottles. We've seen this one. How fucking cool that is.
That's mint, that. Oh, that's like voodoo head.
Yeah, so it is dead head.
Nice.
So I ordered myself a fucking load of cheeky rum. And I got an email the other day, like, we're delivering the second part of your order. And I was like, shit.
Is it dark rum, or are you not bothered?
Both. I like the spiced. I prefer the spiced, but dark rum. I keep getting told white rum. Every brother I know is telling me I need to get on the white rum.
When I used to go on your ways and drink, I used to do dark rum, because you used to be able to put it in bottles of Coke, didn't you? And it wouldn't look too sus, like your little bottles and that. So, yeah, I used to have it dark rum then. But, yeah, either or, mate. Back when I used to drink, I wasn't really fussed.
Yeah, I only found rum 2 years ago.
Well, you're making up for lost time now.
Yeah, I drink it like a fucking pirate at the minute, haven't it? Right, cheers for tuning in, everybody. Make sure to subscribe. Go check out these two lads and the podcast that they're up to. And I reckon a future episode needs to be the fucking Call Centre Chronicles, without a shadow of a doubt.
Nailed it, mate. You've called it. You nailed it.
Right, I'll see you in a bit, lads.
Cheers, Steve.
See you later.
See you later, Jake.